What's up, everyone? This is episode 25 of Beyond Every Toy Aisle, and this is one of your hosts, Eduardo Pineda. And on this episode, I interviewed my friend and talked a little bit about the incident that he had at his job. And I'll be joining you guys in the second portion to introduce a little bit more of what the second portion of the podcast consisted of. I'll let you guys listen to the first portion, and I'll be joining you guys in the middle again. All right, guys, so we're here at the Scottish Rite Center, and this is my friend Gallo. I met him in high school, and basically we didn't really associate with each other during high school, but then after high school we became really good friends, and he basically encountered a ghost here. I don't know if you want to go into talking about it and stuff.
Alright, so I was sitting here, just like I am today, and it was like around...
In the same exact spot.
Same exact, yeah, exactly. And it was around 9:30, probably about to be 10. And there was a poetry slam on the other side of the building, and that's where I feel the ghost or whatever is always...
In that area?
Yeah, so there was like a lot of, you know, a lot of things going on over there. And yeah, so that's where I feel that he's always on the other side. So he came on this side and I was here. And I feel that the ghost is chilling always in the stage area because it's always dark, it's always cold, it's nice, good ambient, and nobody goes out there, nobody goes. So I'm there being on my computer watching Netflix, and the door opens by itself. And I'm tripping out because I'm thinking one of these guys, my coworkers, they open the door on me and it's a prank, you know? That's my first instinct. You know, I didn't think it was gonna be like a ghost or an encounter or anything.
And
like
prior
that.
To this, you didn't believe in ghosts, right?
Prior to this, I was skeptical.
You were skeptical?
But I always felt like
it was possibly true.
You know, never have I ever felt something like that, and personally. So I'm there, and the ghost opens the door on me. I look outside, my friends out in the lobby, Jim Bob and Israel. They're out in the lobby, and we check the cameras, and we come to find out that, in fact, something was there. There was a shadow. There was two squares. One was covered by the shadow, and as the shadow moved towards the door, it showed the light, and the door opened. So if you... want to show
I'm
the
gonna
video?
Share. I'm gonna share the video with you guys after, probably in the comment section, or I'll probably just share it in the groups, mm-hmm. And then you guys can look at it and take a peek by yourself. But in my opinion, he would have to have gone a long ways, and I've already said this in the prior podcast. But he would have had to go a long way to make all this video edits and stuff in order for him to capture that stuff. But it was directly filmed through the cameras of the Scottish Rite Center, which is this building that we're at right now. And it was crazy, man. I got to see it, and it's crazy because when you're experiencing something like that, it must feel super weird, because when you look at it, the door opens and there's light that comes out of the door because you were inside, and the hallway is kind of dark in the camera. So if somebody were to have opened that door, you would have been able to see that person in front of the door, you know, the shadow or like the build or something, you know. But there's none of that in that video, and you took it directly from the cameras from the building again. And I can probably, when we finish, I'll show you guys the hallway, because we're right outside the hallway where this occurred, and I can show you where the camera is, I guess, too, so you guys can see the angle and stuff. But Yeah, other than that, have there been any other encounters? What, prior to this, what made you skeptical?
I've never felt anything like it. I never felt anything so personal that it kind of shook the ideas that I had prior to this happening to me. So, it's true, you know, if you feel something and you experience something, it's way different than you just saying, I believe in ghosts.
Yeah.
But I don't have no proof.
Or there's things that you can say that might happen, but they all can be answered, like,
logically.
Yeah, like through science or whatever
science
the fuck you want to call it, physics,
yeah,
or gravity,
yeah,
or shit like that, you know? But
yeah,
that one, to be honest, when you showed it to me, again, you would, in my opinion, you would have to have gone through the trouble of putting the shadow into that space.
Yeah.
Then you probably pulling the door open and stuff.
Yeah,
but
like all
like,
that stuff.
I don't know if that's even possible.
I don't
but
have, honestly,
I wouldn't believe that you would be taking the time to make a fake video, you know?
No, I just don't have time for that.
But, because, I don't know, it's just crazy, man, to be honest. When you showed it to me, I was like, oh, shit, like, you know, you caught it on camera. And it was,
yeah,
you haven't been the first person, because the other people from the H Street Mall, they told us, the security guard told us that basically that mall is haunted as well.
Okay.
So on the CVS side, and they said
they
caught a ghost on camera, so I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, it's always nice to have cameras around, so you can just,
you know what would have been nice? If you would have been like filming something inside that place when it happened, and then that would have been like 100%, like,
yeah,
you know?
Like, yeah, but I mean, like,
but
who's going to be recording?
Yeah, I know this.
I'm going to, like, now I'm going to look out for it.
Yeah.
I don't want it to happen to me again, because just the first few days I was kind of like shook, you know, like I was like, you know, I was in bed and I was like thinking of it, you know, I was like, what if the ghost is here? And you think to yourself, nah, that's impossible, you know, there's no way, you know. And it shakes you, a bit, you know, to have some encounters.
What else have you encountered that's kind of like supernatural, or like paranormal?
Me personally, nothing other than that, but Jim Bob has told me that there's this door that it has like a power thing, so it has to, you know, it has a power, like a clamp or whatever it is, so it has to like a level, you know, close.
Yeah.
And they found it was Jim Bob. He looked and he was like, hey guys, come over here. I wasn't there, it was just Israel and the lobby host. And they were there, and what they saw was that the door was half open, with nothing pushed, like
pressed between it
or holding it or anything.
It,
so,
and it's heavy, so it would automatically close by itself,
right? So as they keep walking towards it, they press it, and the door just closes on its own. And they tried it. You know, they try to like see like, all right, let's leave it in the middle. Let's try to hold it down in the middle and see if it holds.
Yeah.
So they tried it many times, and all of the times
it just pressed in.
Yeah.
Damn, that's crazy, dude.
So yeah, that's another one, which is.
What about at Bernie's house? You didn't have any things
that one
happened.
Was really trippy.
Yeah.
Although I must admit at that one, I could
explain it or no?
Yeah. But
like, is it like skeptical, or like, are you not 100% sure?
It's a visual.
Yeah.
We saw.
That was the claw. But what about the time that you said that? Because I already told them about that story about the claw.
Okay.
But the footsteps and
the footsteps. Well, I was drunk at that incident. It was young, you know, and I was sitting outside the door. Oh no. There was the door, and then there was a table right next to the door, and I slept there, basically.
Between the table
and the floor.
Door.
And there was people sleeping on the floor, and then Fernie slept
in his bed.
And, let's see. I hear 1, 2, 3, and then inside. So the thing was coming from the outside. It was 1, 2, 3. Nobody opened the door, nothing. It was just like me feeling something in
Was there anything like noise, outside noise? Were you guys already trying to sleep? Was everything turned off?
Everything was off. Everybody was calm. Everybody was like in bed, either drunk or passed out. On the floor or on the bed.
And then was there footsteps just on the porch or on the roof?
On the porch, on the roof. I don't recall the roof, no. To be honest. I only remember the ones on that were right. Like right behind me,
okay. Basically.
And then he went inside. That's the thing. Like he kept walking. And as I was, you know, I felt him. I felt the steps, and then boom, 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 and walked towards George Green.
He walked towards Green, dude.
Yeah.
And then you remember that time that we went to Presidio Park? Because I explained that story to them again too. Remember that one time that the guy was screaming and stuff?
Yeah, that was kind of
crazy. How do you recall that? Because all I can remember was that freaking scream that was like super close. That came super close to us. Remember that?
I remember a scream coming from
far away, right?
Nearing him, and then that's it.
But it seemed like they were right behind us, right?
Yeah, we turned around.
Everybody turned around. Everybody that went turned around and got freaked out.
Far scream. Coming close to you, you turn around like as if it was like right here. You turn around and there's nothing there, and everybody just starts freaking out.
That night was fucking crazy though, because I think that was the first time we went in the big group, and we went intentionally because Mitch, right?
Yeah.
Mitch wanted to show us like stuff like that, remember?
Oh yeah, that was our first time.
Yeah, he wanted to show us like that they did rituals and stuff.
Oh yeah. Supposedly what he told us, or told is that there's people with black hoods, gowned, and they would be around
circles and stuff.
Yeah, that's another thing that we have to verify with him.
Yeah.
When did this happen?
His perspective and stuff. He's got more stories too, because remember he was going through that one phase where he couldn't sleep sometimes, and then he was like super freaking... Remember, you don't remember that? He said he would see shadows in his house and shit like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I was just like, you know, I was like, oh, boy.
Yeah, like we've never seen them.
Yeah, I've never seen them.
I don't know. It's crazy, man. Sometimes you see shit and it just fucking... It's not explainable. And that video that you got with that ghost, like, that shit is not explainable.
That cannot be explained. That's reasonable thinking would tell you that someone closed the door and with the air it pushed my door, but how do you explain that shadow, you know?
Yeah.
How do you, you know, like, that's my first logical thought. Like, okay, so maybe if someone pushes one door, you know, because of the air compression in this hall,
yeah,
it pushes my thing. But how odd that, what a coincidence that there was a shadow
that passed.
That passed.
And you can
see the shadow that like leaves. And leaves the spot, and you're just like, nah, that can't be a coincidence. You know, that can't be just somebody shutting the door and opening mine, and all of a sudden, what, this shadow comes out of nowhere? Like, no, it had to be a ghost. And the way I feel when I'm alone is I try not to think about it too much. I try not to get too much into my head about it, because you never know. You know, maybe it was a one-time thing and then that's it. Never happens to you again. So I try to see it as a experience that happened to me, and I move past it, you know? Before this whole thing with the ghost, I used to walk the halls in the dark, and I was like completely cool with it. You know, I was just walking, free of mind, you know?
Keep in mind that at night, there's not a lot of people in this section of the building, so it's usually like you're on your own, you know?
It's normally two people, and that's it, in the whole building.
So,
and we turn off the lights, and we just walk through the darkness, you know?
I'm going to show you guys the hallway that he's talking about, and then we'll probably end it here, and then I'll post the link so you guys can see the live video on.
How's it going, guys? I hope you guys enjoyed that segment of the podcast. This second segment,
was at the Logan Library. We recorded at one of their conference rooms, and Benjamin was able to join us this time, one of our other hosts, along with Javier. And we basically talked about Benjamin's experiences. I'll let you guys listen, and we'll be back to conclude the end of the episode.
We are here to continue the Beyond Every Ghost Story podcast that we've been doing. We did it a while back with Rod Tosh and myself.
Yeah.
So now we have the infamous Benny Blanks. He will be our special guest today, telling his stories, but he's also slash host. Also, we got Eduardo over there.
What's up, guys? I'm just trying to share the link from Facebook on all the other groups from San Diego, so just give us a second. But
so little right now we're here in the Logan, Barrio Logan Library, and as everybody knows, Barrio Logan is pretty famous for their Latino heritage, and so you know, we're gonna get into that. We're gonna get into the stories of,
you know. Oh man,
what's going on? Are you feeling anything, Ben?
No, I
know that you felt something when we got here to the library.
Yeah, so just a little incident, just right here in. I think it's on Evans Street in Logan Heights. It's Evans, right, or no? 28.
I think it's
28. Kind of by Evans. Shout-outs to the homegirl Annie Cruz that used to live down here. I'm pretty sure she watches us. Well, you guys want to begin already, or?
Yeah.
Or want to get some members?
You want? No, it's fine. I think we could just keep it rolling for right now.
Yeah, what up, Bobby?
I don't know.
Oh, we got JJ in the house. What's up, JJ? I got to get with you, bro. Message me. Are you available today?
So, Ben, all right, we'll get into it right now. It's been a while since, you know, we've had you in one of the podcasts.
Yeah, it's been
we're both glad to see you here, with us, and, you know, being able to be part of the podcast today and being able to tell your stories. And, you know, ghost stories are what we all, I love, man. To tell stories, ghost stories. I love to hear them. I love to watch them. Eduardo over there is the skeptic.
I'm not really that skeptic, bro. Like, I believe in shit. I just never seen anything, you know? Like, I haven't confirmed it for myself, but...
You know what? Consider yourself lucky, dude. I can tell you that.
I'm kind of looking forward to it, though. Like,
nah, it's not something. If you're not ready for it.
I know, if you're not ready for it.
If you're not ready for it spiritually.
Even sometimes, man, they get you by surprise where you're saying, like, handle it all of a sudden, like, boom, oh.
It just depends. Like, when I came in right now, I came in by myself. I wanted to come in, check out everything. First of all, I wanted to be on time. I'm never on time, but I showed up and I came inside and came with my family. My family's out here as well, and I asked the receptionist if I could check out the rooms. She's like, "Hey, you know, we have one down here, and we have a couple upstairs." So I came upstairs to come look at them, kind of like them. But before I actually came into the rooms, I passed the woman's bathroom, and as soon as I just hit the bathroom, I didn't even have to look out of the corner of my eye. It was like a and I turned and I saw it was a figure, and I just kept, I froze. And as soon as that, Eduardo was right behind me. My wife was right behind me. And the first thing I told him, don't look in there, or just don't go in there. My wife turns around, all mad. Well, he's a man. He can't go in the woman's bathroom. So
what did it look like? I mean, it's just,
I don't see faces. I see shadows, you could say, or I can feel them because I felt it. I didn't see it. I really can't believe I'm talking about this here, but yeah, it's something that I don't know if it's through family or things like that. I come
from a Mexican family. My mom is from Hidalgo, Mexico, and my my dad's from Guadalajara. My dad, his background was military, and he was a fisherman. In his younger days, as older, he did construction. A lot of people knew him as construction, but he would never talk about things like that with me, but my mom would. As a kid, I was very not open, but I was exposed to it. Not that my mother did witchcraft, nothing like that. My mom's Catholic. But, you know, Mexican families have superstitions. Some of them have their beliefs. And my mom kind of was openly aware of other, I want to say it's another world, mm-hmm. because it is another world. I know I was afraid to talk about this for a while because people might think you're crazy. But honestly, and nowadays, I really don't care.
That's what you told me. I remember you having a conversation with me, and I told this to Javier the other day that we were talking on the phone. The first time that you ever saw, like we were talking on the phone, and that was the first time that you ever saw something while being on the phone with me. And you were like, oh, shit.
Yeah, I was standing outside.
Yeah, and you were like, oh, shit. And I, you know, like, ¿qué onda? Like, what's going on, you know? And he was like, I don't think I should tell you.
Hey, what's up, Joe? ¿Cómo estamos, bro?
Don't.
No people shit, ghosts, bro. But real demons. That's why Mexicans are... More
spirits, because it's all we always talk about them. Yeah, you're right. You know, we always talk about our loved ones. You know, it's always been around Mexican culture. There's so many leyendas out there. And if you guys have never experienced Mexico, yeah, that day we were on the call, como que decían, como las seis.
No, I think it was more later at night.
Seis,
like, no, maybe like 7, 8.
Sí, se estaba oscureciendo. It was getting dark already. And I remember out of the corner of my eye, and I was like... a lot of the times, I don't know how to explain it, or at least to my experience, it's always been... That's not... I want to say diabolic or... No. But it's people like in looking for some, for like, either to be acknowledged.
They're not resting or something. Because I remember you told me, you explained it to me like that. Like, you
like
know,
they're looking for something. Yeah. They're not ready, or they're not aware of it. And they're just pretty much wandering souls. That's to how I see it. But back to my mother, though. My mother was the one that exposed me. And, you know, share with me a little bit. I grew up real quick as a kid. Didn't really like to look into that. Or I was always been scared to it. So I kind of just shined away from it. It didn't really start to come back to me till I got a little bit older. We used to go to the families down south with my mom, and we used to have a place. My family did, my mom's family did, was the estatuas. They did like the stuff you see at the border. Mm-hmm. You know, so I got to see the molds and stuff like that. And there was it was pretty much the factory where my tios had the workers. And it was called La Cienega. This is in Durango. And I remember, having to go there, and I used to get along with the workers because they were younger kids. So they were like kids my age, and, you know, beat Mexico, you know, that's what it is. So I got along with them, and we went to the Cienega to go spend the night with my cousins. And I remember being there, and I could hear them talking about it, but I was over here with the kids. And we went to bed that night. And keep in mind, The factory was made out of like ladrillo, which is bricks. pretty much cement, adobe. It was kind of, you know,
old school.
A little old school, you know. We went to bed that night, and I remember my parents did not stay the night. My parents went home, and I stayed with my cousins, and we stayed with some of the workers, and you know, we all went to bed afterwards. And I remember, it was like 3, 4 in the morning. I got up to go use the restroom, and I could hear things. And the bathroom, when you went into the bathroom, it was made out of ladrillo, so it was pretty much, it's just a big square of bricks in the bathroom hole, and then it was just bricks all around. A toilet paper, that's it, there's no flushing, maybe a bucket of water to dump it in. And I remember trying to go in there, and I seen something just move. And my cousin pulls me back, and he goes, "Benjamin, don't go in there. We don't use that restroom." And I, like, why? And he's like, "Just don't ask questions. Go downstairs." So that bothered me the next day, and I was like, "Man, I saw something." He's like, "Yeah, that's why you don't go in there." So my mom spoke to me about that. And before that place was an actual factory or whatever it was a ranch, and the place burned down. And in that section where the place where the factory was at, where that section was a house. The owner died in that house. And, you know, when they told me that, I was like, skeptic. But as I got a little bit older, I had an incident. I used to work for Party City years ago. I don't know, a lot of my friends, if you guys are on here watching, my friend Fernando can vouch for this, my friend Perla can vouch for this. We don't know if the Party City in Chula Vista, right there with the Ross on Palomar, we don't know eventually what really did happen, but rumors were that it used to be a bar. If you ever walk into that Party City, if you walk towards the end of the Party City, it's hollow. So supposedly that was the cellar. I remember there was a 7-Eleven right across that bar, and there was a Ralph's with a Michael's. It's a Michael's now, right? Across the street.
Yeah,
so that used to be a Ralph's as well. And when we used to work there, we would hear, you know, we had tanks, helium tanks, we had costumes, so we had tons of stuff back there. And I was closing one night with my my manager. It was just me and her. We were in the building, and what we would do in the back was the receiver would tie up the helium tanks. The helium tanks would be tied with chains. So if you can hear chains and tanks, it's a metal clinking sound. And I remember being in there, and I was like, "Did you hear that?" And I heard the chains. She's like, "Oh, it probably one of the tanks probably slipped. Go check it out." So I go to the back, I check it out. The chains were moving, but nothing fell. There was nothing to it. So I came back and I told my manager, her name was Grace Good. I go, "Grace, there's nothing back there." So she's like, "Well, that was pretty loud. Come on, let's go check." So we're walking over there, and as soon as we were walking over there, the chains were already moving back and forth. My manager ran, jumped into the office, closed the door, left me outside. So I could hear that. I was like, "Look, Grace, if you're going to stay in the office, that's fine. I'm getting out of the building." So the first thing, she grabbed her shit. She didn't even put the money in the safe, grabbed everything. She left, closed the doors. My manager, his name was Philip Miles at the time, and he was Catholic, and his wife was Catholic. He didn't really believe in religion, but his wife did. His wife was Mexican, and they brought a priest into the building because a lot of other things were happening. People were starting to see a woman. Like, if you walked to the aisles, you could see a woman. It was always a woman in a white dress. Now, that's what the men saw. The girls saw a man. So that's different. I don't know about that. I never saw a man. I saw, to me, it was a woman in a white dress. That's what it was known for. So they brought a priest. They blessed the building, I remember. They put like a, by the dressing rooms, if you ever, I don't know if it's still there, but it was like a holographic Niño de Atocha, and they would place it in the dressing room, because the dressing room used to actually be a, it was an actual bathroom, but they cleared everything and it became the dressing room for the costumes at Party City. And it took a while, and I invested. I was in college, so I did what, maybe 2 years of general ed. So I was in there trying to find out what was going on, and my mother asked me, she's like, are you like really ready to dive into this? Because, you know, I keep seeing you keep bringing books, and, you know, you're not really right with God right now. So if you're not right with God, now you're not ready for this, because you really have to be ready for this, because things will, you're opening doors, in other words. I don't know if you guys, it sounds so cliche.
Like
so
portals movies, or something.
It's, yeah.
And that's one of the things that I remember you, that's why I wanted to bring it up earlier.
That's why.
That you were, that's the first thing that came out of your mouth. It was, I don't think you're ready, or like, I don't think you think I'm gonna crazy or something. You said you think I'm crazy, you know? You said, I think you're gonna think that I'm crazy, but this, and then I told you to try me, and then that's when you told me, because you didn't want to tell me that you had something that one day.
I don't really like to talk, but now that I'm older, now that I'm wiser, I guess, not really afraid of it. The only thing that does scare me though is because spirits of people, but entities that are far beyond, they're not far beyond the spirit world. They are in the same world, but
they can travel through, basically.
They can travel through items. They can travel through people.
My question.
That scares the shit out of me.
That I have for you, like, you've seen stores, you know, shadows and stuff like that. Have you ever been touched, or have you ever been, like, scratched or anything like
that? No. And, you know, I hear stories, you know, people get scratched or stuff like that. It just depends, I guess, either on the person, on how they feel about it. There's some people that don't have never ever seen nothing to it, or never been exposed, and it just happens to them from one day to another. They're seeing things, or things are happening to them physically.
What about your kids? You know, how you got it passed on to you?
I hope not. I hope it does skip a generation.
Has any of your...
No, but they say, a lot of people say that when children are, you know, when they're in their toddler ages, when they're really clean, how do you say,
innocent?
Pure
innocent, yeah, exactly, that's the word I was trying, when they're innocent, pay attention to them. Pay attention also to your animals. Animals, oh my God, your animals are big detectors on certain things. Watch your animals. I mean, you know, cats do play around. I have cats. I actually have one. But dogs, cats, you know, they watch them. They pick up on that right away.
You know, something that I remember when I was younger, and it was something that I mentioned to you whenever we were talking about it, but, you know, when I was younger, they would always say, oh, dogs, whenever they know that somebody's going to pass, they start crying. Yeah.
It's pretty common, especially in Mexico. I mean, you know, you hear a lot. I've heard it personally on my own, and it's scary, because it's not just one dog. It's maybe good 5, 10. It's a communication, and it will travel.
They pick it up.
They pick it up, man.
I remember when I was little, they used to say, and I don't know if this is true or not, but they say, if you put the, I don't know how you say, lagañas, how do you say?
No, la pestaña de un gato.
No, las lagañas de un perro. Las lagañas de un perro right here, like on your eye, that you would be able to see like all this stuff.
That comes from Egypt. Los egiptos pensaban, used to think that, If you, because to the
Egyptians, the dog was really like,
it was the cats.
Oh, the cats.
The cats were the guardians of
the fucking shit.
The entrance of
another realm, with like the portal or whatever.
Yeah, so they say que si te pones la pestaña de un gato,
that you can see.
En tu pestaña, that you can see the gates of hell. I never tried it, and I don't think I would want to do that. I'm good. As far as that, there's tons of other things, but it just depends on how the person detects things. Like for me, example, I've never been touched. I've heard of people being touched and scratched. I've spent the night where people have said, "Oh, I've been scratched," or "I was pulled," or "I was dragged." I never felt it.
Yeah, I don't.
But
what is another thing that you've seen, or like, I don't know. I think you guys have stories in the similar place. Because last time Javier was talking about his stories at the church by the apartments by your mom's house.
Oh, you're talking about Monte Carmelo.
No,
the Saint Rosalima. Saint Rosalima is an old Catholic church. It's right there on Third and H.
Like right there at the
My mother lives right next to it. And you know, I don't know if a lot of you guys are aware, my dad recently passed away. And I go to the house. Honestly, I think my dad's still there. I don't think my dad's left. My sister has called me and asked, "Hey, have you?" I go, "You know what? I see him every time I go in the house. He's there. And I honestly don't think my dad's ready to leave." Why? Because my mom's still here. So I keep telling my dad, I go, "It might take a while, but
pretty long while." Taking care of her?
Yeah, we're taking care of my mom. So my mom has said that she's felt him massage his feet. I believe her because I see it. That's not only me, it's other family members that they go and they're like, "You know, he's still right there." Like, I still see the house has been changed around too. Keep in mind, the house doesn't look what it looked like when my dad was alive. But we still see him.
He goes to his spots?
Yeah. Those are his spots, bro. That chair is always there for him. So that was his favorite chair.
Have you ever seen it move or anything?
No, but that's the chair. That's the last picture I took of my dad. In that chair.
¿Quién se quedó con los lentes, carnal? Who stayed with the glasses,
The shades, bro. I stand to that. No, they're still there. Oh, actually, I'm wearing my father's watch.
Nice.
My father. I had given this to my dad, and my mother gave it to me. She's
the
like,
Lokes. You got to get those Lokes, bro.
I got it. It was the Terminator my dad had. So I don't know if you guys knew my dad. My dad had that mobster feel. My dad used to always carry these dark shades all the time. So if you ever see my dad on 8th Street, you'd see that either walking with his walker, or if he was sitting on the walker, he would tend to massage his hands. So I always looked at my dad. I was like, "Man, you look like a Don, Dad. You just posted up all to your head, you got your shades, looking all fresh with your chaleco." Oh, man, I miss him so much. You know, you don't realize.
So, but not to change your story, but going back to what Eduardo said, that church, have you ever been in there? Have you ever?
Actually, I was married in that church. Me and my wife got married through the Catholic Church there.
Did you ever sense anything in there? Because, like I said, I told Eduardo that I had a lot of stories.
No, but you do. I've seen not a lot. I've seen maybe shadows, but I tend not to look that way.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to try to block things from myself because I don't like to feel like that. I don't like to feel. It's like an anxiety. Mm-hmm. An anxiety, you don't know how to get rid of it. So I try, especially when you have family, when you have kids, you don't want to bring things like that home.
So, right, even at your age, you don't want to embrace it? Not really,
because what if I bring something home?
That's true.
I've got kids. I've got my wife. I don't think they're ready. I don't think nobody's ready for it. You have to pretty much be at peace with yourself, because if you have other things bothering you,
That's how it hurts you, huh?
Yeah, it hurts you and affects your family. It takes a toll on your family. Like, honestly, it took a big toll. Honestly, what happened to us this year was pretty tough, man. I don't know if it was... It comes in portions in our lives where we go through some dark times. And honestly, man, going through that kept me away from this, from what...
From what you were doing?
It kept me away from this. It kept me away from, work.
Because remember, it wasn't only your dad thing. It was your toe thing.
My toe, my father, my mother went into the hospital right away. It's one thing after another, but I want to say it happens to... Not be involved around, like, the supernatural, but it's more, I guess, through dark paths that we all go through. But that's getting out of the subject.
Internal things, right?
Yeah, internal things.
Like, it makes you reflect and think about shit.
Yeah.
It makes you feel grounded.
It makes you feel alive.
But the good thing about, like what we're doing right now, it kind of gives you that therapy. Instead of you bottoming it up, we can, share it with you.
Somebody might be going through the same
thing. Beta family is behind you 100%. Everybody's here. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people glad to see you back behind the camera, telling your stories.
It took me a while to really, and especially with work and having one car and having to move around, but hopefully we're getting that new car soon. Not a new car, but second car to move around. I'll be able to participate more into this. What other stories do I have?
Well, I don't want to make this part of me, but that day that, remember, I think I told
what
you.
What did you see us? What did you feel?
When we talked that night, right? So we were... We're on the phone, and I think you had to leave. You said, "Oh, hey, I got another phone call." And then Eduardo was on with me for a while, and then my son, dude, something happened to my son. Like, my house, it's so weird. But anyway, so my kids, we had just finished eating, and I went over there with my wife. I was talking with my wife and my kids. They stayed in the kitchen to finish eating, so they were eating. And all of a sudden, I was coming out of my room and I see my son go like this, move back.
Yeah, yeah.
And
him this, did he feel it?
No, that's where I'm getting at. I said, "What's going on? What happened?" He's like, "Somebody touched the back of my neck." I thought it was you, but I saw you barely coming out of the... I thought you were playing a joke with me, but then I saw you just barely walking out of the room, so it wasn't you.
Man. It would be impossible, huh?
So I've never been touched, but when I was younger, I was coming home one day, and I actually happened to be on the trolley. Mm-hmm. I got on Iris, heading down south to San Ysidro, and I was coming. It was already late. It's around 11. I must have been a freshman. I was like a junior coming back, and my mom was a little at ease because I wasn't home. 11 o'clock, I wasn't home. She's like, where is he? So I got off the trolley station, and there were some guys at the trolley, and they wanted to start some trouble. It was like 2-3 guys.
With you?
Yeah, with me. So when they headed towards me, I was like, I'm not going to give them a chance. So I headed home, and when I started running home, I swear to God, I knew the door was locked and I had to get my keys, but my first instinct was to open the door. As soon as I opened the door, I see a hand. And when I see the hand, I peeked over and I didn't see nothing. So the only thing I saw was my mother was doing laundry in the kitchen. That's where So my mom was like, ¿Por qué vienes corriendo? And I'm like, nothing. I didn't want to tell my mom what was going on. I was like, nothing. I booked it through. He's like, no, it's not, something's happening. So whatever, I went to bed. And My mom woke me up in the morning. She's like, sure you're okay? Go, nah, just some of the local neighborhood kids. Like, oh, okay. She's off. Because somebody told me you were already coming. I was worried last night. Mm-hmm. And somebody came and told me, she's like, don't worry, your son's right here. He's coming in. She said that when she heard he's coming in, I came in the door. So I remember seeing the hand, not touching it or nothing, because I wanted to see who it was. It wasn't a hand I recognized.
No. Thin and bony or something like that? No,
it was a woman's hand. Mm-hmm. I kind of have an idea who it was. I'm pretty sure my one of my cousins is, if she's either watching, I haven't spoken to her about it, so I don't want to really say that here. Mm-hmm. Until I speak to her about it, we can rekindle this one. But I think it was someone close to her.
No, yeah.
That recently had passed during that week. That's who I think it was. But
yeah. Like my wife, she doesn't have that sense of you that you have, where you can like actually see people. The thing that she has is she'll dream about something.
Los sueños, yeah, los sueños que dicen mucho.
No, but not only that, but they actually do happen. Yeah. Like she's dreamed several times that some of her primos, or the, what is it, like the husbands of her primas, like pass away, and it actually does happen.
Yeah.
You know, one time goes, and it's just a weird story, but we're living in an apartment complex, and we're thinking about getting cable, but at the time, like, it was like really expensive, the cable and stuff like that. And she says that she dreamed that they told her to connect the TV and there will be cable and stuff like that. And I was at work whenever she told me. when I got back home from work, like, I see all this cable, like they're watching TV. It's like, what's going on here? No, let's get through it and sweat you. And like, the guy who was living there, like, was taking cable from the upstairs. So I was like, hey, well, like,
wow. Free cable.
They free cable. Yeah, for a good while.
It was free cable for a good while.
I think what happened was that the upstairs neighbor ended up leaving. And had no more cable. We had to get the cable. Wow. But
los sueños, the dreams can tell you a lot. Not that I'm an expert in dreams, but I've been told what certain dreams mean. Like, I've been told that it's going to sound funny and it's going to sound crazy, but I've been told, and by numerous persons, including family, that if you ever dream poop, go in and pretty much put it on yourself, that it means money. Whoa, now, if you dream money, supposedly it means poverty. It's like a warning saying, hey, prepare yourself for hard times. Mm-hmm. Because hard times are coming. I've personally felt that before. I've dropped money and I've gone through a whole stumble where I just lost everything. And I woke up happy because I had drunk money. I didn't know what the meaning was until I actually spoke to somebody about it. What else has parties are mostly like weddings or funerals, I think.
Well, what if you dream about a funeral? Like, if you dream about somebody?
If you dream of a funeral, I haven't heard this. I've heard this through like other I'd say books or interviews and stuff like that. But you hear a lot that nothing credited that I like. That supposedly means life.
I've
also heard that missing teeth, or when you feel a tooth, that's death in the family.
I don't even know. I had a dream one time where all my fucking tooth fell out. All of them, bro. I was alive. And then I woke up like a couple seconds later after touching my teeth and stuff. I was freaked the fuck out.
the Mexican or Latino heritage, they would say that if you dream about death, that or the death in the family, that you're giving that person more life.
Yeah, that's yeah. What I've heard. Well, it pretty much is.
That's what they say about entities or like Dia de los Muertos, you know.
Yeah, you give them. That's what that means. It's honoring them and it's bringing them back to what they used to like.
That's the whole premises of the Coco movie. I don't know if you guys have seen it, yeah. But that like the song, the main song is like "Remember Me." Uh-huh. And there's like the dad singing a song to the daughter and shit. Uh-huh. And she just says like "Remember Me," and that's what they say. Like as long as you're remembered, you'll always be alive, even alive. In the afterworld. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because like in the movie too, like one of the guys was already disappearing, right?
Yeah, they were forgetting him. Yeah,
that's crazy. And
so it's a pretty interesting movie. I know you wanted to talk a little bit about Dia de los Muertos too.
Yeah, no, that's pretty much it. Yeah, also what I did want to talk about right now was leyendas. I don't know, you guys hear a lot of leyendas, especially if you come from a Mexican background.
Yeah. Traditional,
La Llorona. Traditional, most leyendas I've noticed like. I'm pretty sure we've all heard about the girl that went out on Easter Sunday and mom told her not to go. She went and she danced with the devil. And that story's been thrown around from Guadalajara to Tijuana, different parts of the country. There's other ones like on this side of this, on this side of the, on the US side, the girl that usually is asking for a ride.
For a ride, the hitchhiker.
Her home, and you know, she leaves something behind, and whoever took her home goes back. Hey, so and so left this in my car yesterday. Well, she couldn't have. She's in the back, and she's been resting for so many years.
Or in the taxi, and they get in a car accident or something like that. You ever heard of them where they get a taxi ride?
Well, you know what? That oh man,
you got the chills because I got the chills.
I can't say that right now, but it's another one. I have to talk to the family about it.
There was this one time because growing up, like I used to love Ramon Ayala, when I was in high school, you know, we would go drinking and we would listen to Ramon Ayala. And just growing up, I just stuck with him, you know. And there was this one song about a truck driver, and it's I think it's a pretty famous legend too about the truck drivers picking up the girl.
Yeah.
And you know, and I guess he takes her to her house, and then he comes back and talks to his family.
Talks to the family.
And then she's like, you know, well, that song, dude, I never paid attention to the words. And when I freaking found out what it was about, I was like, oh shit, like I was getting all these chills because I didn't know it was like a ghost story kind of thing. Yeah. You know? So I can't remember the name of the song, but man, I one day I just like paid attention to the lyrics.
Those are the songs that I actually like appreciate the most especially when I used to be with my dad and stuff and like driving around because he would take me everywhere. And he would listen to songs, and now that I go back and listen to them, because I don't remember the lyrics. I don't remember the lyrics. I'm like, fuck, no wonder my fucking dad would listen. This is a fucking sick-ass story. Like, some of them have pretty cool stories.
One that gets, and it's not a ghost story, but the one that gets me all the time, that
Dos Monedas. That's a sad story,
especially
if you're faded.
Yeah.
And you're having it. That's not the song to listen to.
Oh, no.
That's the song.
Unless you're ready to like face some shit, but
that song is really sad. That song gets to me all the time, man.
Yeah. Basically, it's about a dude who's like drunk all the time, and he sends his kid to get some beer for him.
Yeah, he like begs. Yes, yeah, the little kids
has to beg money.
What happens?
He kicks him out. Basically, he kicks him out and tells him if you don't bring.
Many
liquor, then you're not my kid anymore.
Yeah,
and then so I don't know if you want to say the rest.
The little boy goes outside.
I think it's raining.
It's raining. It's cold, and the little boy dies there.
And then whenever the dad finds him, and he opens up his hand, he has
two coins roll out of his hand. So that's why it's called Dos Monedas. That song is probably even true. I mean, a lot of the things that happen in life, man. Something that my mom always told me, or not always told me, but I guess growing up the way I grew up, it taught me about life. Sometimes you don't have options. And pretty much those are the cards that have been given to you. And you in do. Mexico, and even here.
Anywhere,
man. It happens, man. You know? You just got to roll with it.
You got to do what you can with what you have.
Yeah.
Exactly, man. And that's what I think makes us really stronger as
human beings. Yeah, that's what makes
us stronger. Human beings.
Adversity makes you stronger, bro.
I
think we would be a weaker person if we always had everything like handed to us.
Which happens to a lot of people too, you know?
Yeah.
And those people complain because they don't get no attention, or like, you know, the parents are not always there because they're either always working or like something like that, you know? Like, everybody has their own problems. You just got to learn how to deal with them.
Yeah.
In the proper way, you know, and you can't fucking take it out on innocent people, you know,
especially like what I went through this year,
stuff like that. Like
I used to, maybe like 10 years ago, I would ask, why is this happening to me? I just learned to accept it. It was the cards that were given to me. Shit, let me play them.
Yeah. So. I think if you dwell on that why, or if you dwell on all your situations, I think that's going to bury you eventually. You're eventually going to not last, man. But if you, like you say, like go forward and, you know, you keep on going, then, you know.
If you hold it in, it's pretty much, it's not healthy, whole thing's in.
Yeah.
It's time to let go. It's time to just look towards the future. And it's easier said than done. It's really easier said than done, but you have to try, because really, I think we're all worth it.
Yeah.
We're all worth it. Maybe going through some dark sides, but
everybody else is going through some dark shit. Everybody else is going through some
things, you know. I think about it myself. Okay, yeah, I might have lost a toe. There's people that lose their whole foot.
Yeah.
I can walk. I can't say I'm complete. But shit, I'm 99% complete.
Yeah.
I just got to take care of myself, watch what I eat, stay healthy. Not worry. I don't have time to worry.
Yeah.
That's my time is valuable. And I have to share it with the people that I love. So I try not to think negative.
It was crazy because before all these things happened, before I had met Benjamin, I didn't know what was going to, like, when, my first impression of Benjamin,
from this?
Like, I don't know, I think I kind of had to, like, meet Benjamin at the time that we kind of met each other, because we would go on some fucking deep, pretty conversations for, like, a couple hours, you know? Sometimes we would have, like, some long conversations, man, long before we created the collector's showroom and all that stuff. We would just talk. We would just talk on the phone for like 4 or 5 hours, dude. I don't know. It was crazy. Like,
we discuss everything, try to lay out plans, and then Javier came into the picture. And
but even this the first time, whenever we all three of us,
I know it felt like we were already like friends because we had met individually. And then eventually we all met up together.
Yeah, we made that phone call, that merge. And dude, we stayed talking.
Whatever, dude. Conference calls are awesome, dude.
You know, not getting off the topic of ghosts, but getting on there. Yeah,
I wanted to bring that up.
And it was a good, like,
transition.
Like, our anniversary.
November 3rd, man.
Oh, my God.
Well, technically, it was like, the day we recorded the episode, I think it was October 18th. But the first day that we actually launched an episode is going to be on November 3rd. So that's like right around the corner.
Oh, wow.
It's been almost a year, man, since we started all this.
It's been an amazing ride, bro.
Yeah, I mean, honestly.
And
it's been rough, you know, like, a little bit here and there, you know, scheduling and all that stuff. But I think, like, we've really evolved and we've really, like,
it feels like family, man.
It feels good, you know. Every time that we have a chat, and it makes me forget about shit that's going on, you know, like
it gets little us out
problems
of
that I have, and it's just cool, you know, and we get to hear everybody else's perspectives and stuff. I don't know, I've enjoyed it the whole time.
Oh, yeah, man. And I love the way that we've gotten better every time, every video, every what. We just barely started doing video, I'm sorry, but like every podcast, you know, that we've been doing, and we've been getting better. And
we're learning.
We've been learning from the get-go, you know, like none of us knew how to do it. I didn't know how to edit videos. I didn't know how to record
podcast. I give you props on that, because like, I tried editing videos the other day, dude. Oh, my God, I wanted to break my phone.
It took me a while, and it, like, sometimes it was hella frustrating, especially in the beginning, too, because I had to learn how to use the Anchor app. And I remember the first time that we actually recorded, I kind of lost the footage, like the audio footage or whatever. Yeah, and I was hella pissed, like, because I couldn't understand it. And then editing it was like a whole different experience too. And then, you know, sometimes we would mess up, so I had to like be stopping it all the time because I had to listen to it. And now it's kind of smooth, like it's pretty smooth, so I don't have to do that much editing anymore, apart from just doing like the introduction and stuff like that.
Oh man, I remember when we would do, when we first started, and sometimes we would mess up or it wasn't recording right, and we would have to go back. I was like, I wonder how he fixes that. And I was like, oh. And I tried doing it because I was trying to edit that video for Caesar. Antonio Stark one. I had one ready to go, but I couldn't get it. Bro. I was like, I'm just gonna post the video the way it is. I give you your props on that, man. Because honestly,
it takes time. You know everything. You know, it's everything. You know, if you don't know how to even washing dishes. You know, if you don't know how to wash dishes, then you gotta learn some way or another. Yeah. And the only way you're gonna learn is by actually experiencing it. So
exactly.
I'm really happy that we started this podcast, because I mean, and not a lot of people are listening to us. You know, it's not like we're getting thousands and thousands of people listening, but I know that the couple few that we have and the people that have started joining now are actually probably like hopefully getting some value. You know,
thanks
for everybody,
thanks to the listeners. You know. And support us that are always there. Shout outs to Nick Lowry, my friend at work. He doesn't have social media, but I know he listens. He tells me every time, hey, Ben, where are you, dude? I don't hear you on that one. So shout outs to Nick Lowry, man. Thank you for everything. And thank you. You know, that guy really helped me out at work, man. Him and my friend Michael Estrada, they helped me out with, you know, when I was going, transitioning back to work, I didn't really want to go out. I was on a scooter. Yeah. I didn't really. And you know, they're the ones like, hey, man, you need to get out of here. Get out of your office, boy. You seem too gloom. And they got me back into the motion, man. It was, you know, I guess therapeutic. I walk now a lot. So.
Do you want to end it off with one big, big story? Like another, I know we hella went off topic and stuff. Mm-hmm. But, and one more thing. I think we're going to do some type of giveaway. We're not 100% sure. Still got to talk to Javier and see if he can come up with something, because, you know, he's like the artistic one and stuff. Yeah. So we kind of want to make it special for you guys. And there will be some sort of requirement for you guys. Like, we never ask you guys to share anything, but we're probably going to ask you guys to share, like, sure, I don't know yet. Like, probably like your favorite episode or something to somebody, or like on social media or something like that.
So one of the last stories I want to share is actually on my mother's side. My mom's been through some things. If you guys ever to listen to my mom.
Are you going to say like the story that I think you're going to say?
Yeah.
About her family?
Yeah.
Damn. This is a fucking crazy ass fucking story, dude. But
so
I haven't heard it, so I'm you guys.
I'm ready for this one. Like, mom, I'm ready to listen to it the second time, because it's something that's crazy. It's like you could literally write a song about it. It'll be a big hit, man. So, I'll tell you that much.
My mom has been through a lot. My mom lost most of her family when my mom was, 4 years old? She actually witnessed it. She witnessed the event. She lost her family. My grandma and, I want to say, all of her brothers and sisters except for her baby brother. So it's just that's who was alive.
How many after people was it again? Like 9 people?
Like 9. She had like 9 brothers. No, like 11. It was 11 including them. 9 had passed, and my grandma. She was young too. She was like 24. She was an accident, car accident. She got hit with the whole family. The guy was driving like a truck, and I don't know if he was drunk. My mom doesn't remember. My mom was 4 years old, but she got to see it. The only reason my mom and my uncle were still alive was because they were walking with the nanny. So as they crossed the road, they were hit. And I don't want to get into that because it's really, really sad. But my mom went into, you know, with living with my grandfather. My mom had a hard life. Not that my grandfather didn't take care of my mom. It's just that, you know, not my grandfather worked, and not having the support, you know, my mom would be with family members. And let me just push the story forward. It's a long story. Don't want to push it into it. But when my mother came to Tijuana, my mom was, 13. She was 13 years old, and my mom grew up pretty much in Tijuana her teenage years. But there's a property that my grandfather used to own, and it's in Hidalgo. It's actually on a commercial street, kind of like El Centro or downtown. And before it is what it is now, honestly, we think that property is either cursed or something. So there's a legend saying that there, before everything was built there in that section of downtown, it was like different lots. My grandmother used to store, I don't know if you guys know what centenarios are. Centenarios are gold, like gold bullion, but it's not, it's just gold coins. And she would store them in jars and bury them along the property. So my mother would tell me that she witnessed, it was either a charro or a Mexican cowboy. And wherever that charro stood, there was always a fogata.
A flame.
And that flame, as it burns, that's where the money's at. People have scavenged and scurred that land. There's like, there was poles everywhere, different parts of town, because people would go to where that fire was, and supposedly that's where
And the reason they're
carros, they
yeah, they're like, it's like basically a jar full of gold coins, and those gold coins are basically worth a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
So that's why people are looking for them.
People are looking.
And they
for
said
them.
There's a bunch like throughout
not,
Mexico.
Not only that, but the people were trying to kill my grandfather.
Oh, really? During because the time when he was actually alive.
Because they thought that my grandfather knew where the money was.
Because he had the land or whatever.
So my mother one day said she saw the charro. And she remembers going in the morning, and wherever that fire was, it was nothing. It was just dirt. There was no signs of no fire. But she didn't want to dig into it because supposedly if you dig out old gold, it holds fumes.
Yeah.
My mom was young, and she eventually did move out. And they scavenged the land, but nobody's ever found anything. But if you know a little bit of centenarios and stuff like that, that's part of the revolution.
Yeah.
In Mexico. So that has some historic value as well.
Because the currency changed after that, because they had a new government or whatever. And
I was during the Porfirio Diaz days.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Like, they have, it's not the first time that I heard something like that. My lady says that. Yeah. They do that in her pueblo too. I don't know if it's the charro only, but I know there's stuff about like a rock or like, I can't remember what it was exactly, but they also say that there's a cave somewhere over there, and if you stumble into that cave, there's a shit ton of gold inside. But the only way that you can take anything outside of that, like once you go in, you won't be able to go back through the same way that you came in, because you got to take all the gold. If you don't
with you,
you can't, or else you won't be able to get out of there. Like, you kind of get trapped in there. You know, like if you pick up one thing, it's not gonna be the same. It's not gonna be the same exit that you came in through. The only way you're leaving is you leave with nothing or you take everything.
Oh hell no.
That's crazy, huh?
That's insane.
Yeah. I don't know if it's true. Like I said, I've gone over there a couple times and I go to like the mountains and stuff, but there's certain restricted areas that I haven't been able to go to just because of you know, the shady stuff that goes down in Mexico and stuff with the cartels and stuff. But I've gone through a few places and it seems like if you go up there at night, you probably see some shit. Cause yeah. In the montes and cerros.
Yeah, when you sleep in los montes, bro, oh my God. There's stuff there that we don't know that has been left there. People that have probably passed out there and we don't even know. Mm-hmm. They're trying to find themselves too. Like they're trying to, I guess, let the world know that they're not either, hey, I'm here, or they don't know what's going on.
Yeah. And well, with that, guys, I think we're gonna call it a day because I think Benjamin has to go and I kind of gotta go as well. But we just wanted to say thank you again. And also, if any of you guys want to come on the podcast, if you guys want to tell your guys' stories, whatever your guys' story is about paranormal or not paranormal, just hit us up, man. We're really excited to go forward with this, our second year.
Second year.
And I don't know if you guys have anything else to say.
No, just stay tuned. You know, we are going to do the anniversary podcast also. Let's see who wants to join us for that historic last, well, not last, but...
You but know. The annual or whatever?
Yeah.
The annual and, podcast.
So, yeah, with that, I appreciate everybody, you know, watching the live and...
People who tuned in. Thank you, guys.
Tune in. And, Ben, again, appreciate all your stories that you told us today.
Oh, thanks, man. It's a pleasure. Yeah. I just want to thank everybody. Thank you, everybody, for listening and, you know, always out there supporting us. And keep listening.
Yep. Share us. It's only going to get better, man. And I feel that strongly that, you know, we're going to get better from here. And, you know, just stay tuned.
Yep.
Stay along for the ride.
All right, guys. With that being said, here's Benjamin's Halloween costume. Show that shit off. Show your chest off. Please turn it on.
Did the batteries die? I think the batteries died.
And then,
you think so?
Yeah.
No, please, no.
Yeah, I think the battery died.
Oh, man. Well, we're going to have to get that on another episode.
Yeah, it died.
Because that thing lights up.
It lights
pretty
up.
Dope.
It does.
And you got cool the Thanos ring going, too.
I know.
He's Benjamin.
All right, guys. Peace. We really hope that you guys enjoyed listening to this episode, which was episode 25. And we wanted to say thank you again for listening. If any of you have any comments or want to share you guys' stories, please don't hesitate to reach out to any of us. We hope to hear your thoughts on this episode in the comment section. Thank you guys again. Have a good one.